This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randall. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And the Cardinals got walloped last night. Hopefully it will go better tonight. We'll have it on the radio for you this evening. Cards, Cubs, 520 AM, 1540 FM, 106.9 and 92.9. And we got high school baseball coming up live this afternoon. It will be Nokomis at Hillsboro. Live coverage underway just in front of 1 o'clock on WSMI FM 106.1 and streaming at WSMIRadio.com. Yesterday was an exciting day for the baseball and softball teams across the state because the postseason brackets have been released. A year after everything got wiped away, they're going to get their postseason in 2021. So let's quickly run down some of the highlights locally in 2A baseball. No surprise, North Mac, of course, is the one seed. They will have a bye. They will face the winner of Auburn and Litchfield. Auburn is the 8 seed. Litchfield is the 9 seed. That game will be played June 2nd in Auburn with the winner to get North Mac on June 4th in Verdon. The other part of that regional has 4th seeded Carthenville. They will be hosting 5th seeded Staunton. That game will be played June 4th in Carthenville. This is all part of sectional 6. So Gillespie's a 3 seed. Hillsboro's a 6 seed. That game will be played June 4th in Gillespie. That's the bottom part of that regional. In the top part of that regional, Payne of the 2 seed has a bye into the semifinals. They will get the winner of Southwestern and New Berlin. The Pretzels, the 7 seed, the Piasaw Birds, the 10 seed. That game will be played June 2nd in New Berlin, again with the winner getting Payne in a game that will be played on June 4th. Moving along to sectional 7, down there you will find Flora hosting Greenville. That will be a June 4th game. The winner will get into the regional championship with a likely date against Totopolis. Vandalia is in sectional 7, different regional than Greenville. The Vandals, they are the 6 seed. They will be on the road at Newton for a game on June the 4th. So that's kind of a look at the 2A baseball scene. In 1A baseball, Greenfield Northwestern is the top seed in their regional. This is all part of sectional 7. And again, there's no actual regional hosts this year. All the games just being played at this site of the better team. And this is all just because of COVID and all the different things that go into having the different schools host regional tournaments. So Greenfield Northwestern will get the winner of Calhoun and North Green. That game will be played June 2nd with the winner in Greenfield on June 4th. Nokomis is part of that regional as Nokomis is the 5 seed. They will be on the road at Macon Meridian for a game on June the 4th. And then the winner of that game, a likely matchup with Greenfield Northwestern. You will find Mount Olive in sectional 7. They are a 3 seed. They will be hosting Lebanon. That will be a game played on June the 4th in 1A baseball. Still in sectional 7 here in class 1A, Pawnee is a 2 seed, so they will be hosting a game on June the 4th. It will either be against Central A&M or Pleasant Hill. Morrisonville is in the very bottom part of sectional 7 here. They are the 3 seed, so they will host 6th seeded Carrollton. That game will be in Morrisonville on June the 4th. Switching gears now, talking some softball postseason as we look at the 2A brackets. And this is kind of the game that's been looming for the South Central Conference title. It'll happen on Monday. We'll get a part 2 installment of the Southwestern Gillespie series in a regional game on June the 3rd at Southwestern. The Piasaw Birds, the 4 seed. Gillespie is the 5 seed. This will be a regional semifinal with the winner to likely face off against Alton Marquette. Elsewhere in 2A softball, part of sectional 6, you will have Carthenville and Hillsboro playing in an 8-9 game. The game will be played at Loveless Park in Carthenville on June the 2nd. Auburn's a 7 seed. Litchfield's a 10 seed in a regional quarterfinal game to be played in Auburn on June the 2nd. And North Mac is a 4 seed. They will be hosting 5th seeded New Berlin. That game will be played June 3rd. In Verdon. Elsewhere in 1A softball, Lincolnwood is the top seed in sectional 7 in their part of the draw. They have a bye where they will be either playing Pleasant Hill or Brussels on June the 3rd. In Raymond. Still in that sectional complex there, Carrollton's the 4 seed, North Green is the 5 seed, and the winner of that game would play in the regional championship potentially against Lincolnwood. And in the very bottom part of the bracket in sectional 7, you will find Bunker Hill the 6 seed. Oakville will be hosting them as a 3 seed in a game played on June 2nd. And also in 1A softball here, this is part of sectional 6. Nokomis is the 6th seed, so they will be on the road at Windsor-Stoustross for a game to be played on June the 3rd. So that is a quick rundown of the postseason for the baseball and softball here. These tournaments, of course, will be getting underway the first part of June. Normally, the time we would see the state tournament taking place, but in 2021, we will be getting regional play underway in the first week of June. And, of course, much more to come on this leading up to postseason play. So as we get ready for baseball and softball regional tournament play here in a couple of weeks, the bass fishing season has already reached the state tournament. That is going on this weekend at Carlisle Lake. Of course, Hillsborough is fishing there. And on day one, Toppers, along with 19 other schools, did not catch a fish. 20 schools caught just one fish. Currently, Christopher is in first place. They caught 5 fish for over 12 pounds. Murfreesboro in second place, just over 9 pounds of fish caught for Murfreesboro. They'll be fishing again today at Carlisle Lake. And best of luck to the bass fishing Toppers. Busy show still to come here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will talk with Morrisonville baseball coach Mark Farrell, Litchfield baseball coach Connor White, Carthenville boys track coach Shay Kellerman. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will have a conversation with Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith. It's all on the way when Sports Saturday returns. We're happy to talk Gillespie softball with minor head coach Michelle Smith, and obviously with a look towards postseason play, which it's nice to say looking towards postseason play because we haven't gotten to say that for a while, but it's going to be a different type of postseason. No actual regional hosts this year. The better seeded team will be hosting all the postseason. And Michelle, seeding is always tricky when it comes to high school sports, but my gosh, even more of a challenge this year with all the unbalanced schedules.
Yeah, it's, you know, the schedules are really balanced. You know, everybody's kind of been up and down, and it's hard to just get a really good read on everyone because we've had, not a lot of games, no games last year. And, you know, you don't know who people lost and who they have and et cetera. And then in our particular subsectional, we got 10 teams, two of which for sure we don't ever see, Breeze Modern Day or Breeze Central. And so you're just sort of going on records and coaches' comments and, head-to-head. And it's very odd and hard to read. So, just do the best you can based on what their, rules were, regulations as far as, like, head-to-head and then overall records and stuff. But, there's a lot in that, looking at different schedules, who plays whom, and if coaches don't make comments, then you don't get a good read there either, so you sort of have to just what you think is best based on the information you have. So I'm a little disappointed in our seed, but again, I just told the girls, it is what it is, and you prove it on the field. So in that case, whoever's better that day wins. And we've seen lots of years where we thought we were better and we didn't play well, or we came back and we're maybe underdogs and won. And so, you just have to take it one step at a time. Right now our focus is, to finish this conference play up, and hopefully we're on top there. So we're hoping to focus on that, get that win today against Greenville, and go from there, go to Monday.
And Michelle, for my money, Southwestern's a 4 seed, you're a 5 seed in this subsectional. Either one of you could have been a 1 seed or a 1-2 seed in a sectional complex, but as it is, you're 4-5, so you're going to most likely play each other in the postseason after your conference showdown. So strategy-wise, what do you approach anything differently with the regular season game? I mean, that is for the conference championship, but you got the birds coming again in short order in postseason play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course we'll look at it, but I think that we will probably just tend to go with, you know, our best nine on the field that day and with our best scenario to win one at a time and worry about the second one when it comes. You know, if you have multiple pitching, we have some, you know, younger kids and one that hasn't thrown a lot since she was a freshman, but threw for us against Edgeville the other day and did pretty well. You know, I mean, we have some options, but we also like to go with our best defensive play and, you know, with our senior leadership and those girls that have that experience. So, you know, I think we're going to, you know, probably stick with what we think is best and we'll just take it one day at a time. But you know, I don't want to say for sure, but we definitely are going to go for the win, you know, with the conference win and not play around with it too much. I'm not a big fan of, you know, thinking too far ahead. So one day at a time, one game at a time.
Michelle, you're seniors this year. This is a special group of kids. I mean, across the board athletically, they have, you know, done a lot of good things. But softball has always seemed to be kind of the sport where they all come together.
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate. They, you know, you're right. They do. Some of them play select. Some of them don't anymore or used to at one point. They're a good athletic class. They've had a lot of postseason experience and playoff experience over the last, I think even as freshmen, you know, those girls were an integral part for us. So I have and our coaching staff has a ton of confidence in them. And, you know, we've seen what they're capable of this year off and on with the, like I said, the schedule up and down and playing every day and now being out of school, you know, and thinking for summertime and all those other things that come into play. We're just trying to, you know, make sure we stay focused and get done what they're capable of. So we're definitely, you know, keep preaching that to them is just you guys play your game, you know, elevate to your level and not play. You know, not play down, play as much as we're capable of, and let's really focus on that right now. So,
and when you start thinking about the history of pitching for Gillespie, I mean, it's a who's list in terms of the history of the state for the minors that have gone in the circle over the years. Sydney Byers, she seems to kind of just fit right into that mold. She just gets it done.
Yeah, she's doing a good job. I mean, every pitcher has their days where, you know, maybe a pitcher two's not working or, you know, they have a batter at bat that they wish they would have done something different or not left one up over the plate or whatever it was. But she, you know, she has the experience and she's pretty calm and cool and collected in that sense. And we're just trying to, you know, put her in that position to we trust her to put us in a good spot and then play defensively behind her and, you know, use our bats and do the complete game, you know, make sure we get it done. But yes, she's doing a good job. You know, we do rely on her. So,
and your lineup, Michelle, 1 through 9, anybody can hurt you any given game.
Yeah. I mean, I have said earlier in the year, like, I think this is one of the best offensive teams I've had or the capability of being one of the best offensive teams I've had from, you know, 1 through 9, you know, of course, going through that many games, we've, had our ups and downs and everybody goes in a slump every once in a while, but, you know, and you're going back and forth between some, you know, faster pitchers and slower pitchers and having to make those adjustments. And of course, you know, making adjustments to everyone's strike zone. That's part of the game as well. So just, you know, picking good pitches and making sure we're, you know, focused on doing that and working the count. You know, we're seeing some good things there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do, you know, in this final last couple weeks.
You know, along that line,
they've been hitting the ball well.
When we saw you play Staunton a few weeks ago, the Bulldogs were making a concerted effort to stay away from Shelby Taylor. I mean, they were putting ball after ball in the right-handers batter's box. They missed one pitch over the middle, and she drilled it out into left center field. And I guess so much of that is you might only get one pitch in an at-bat, and when you get it, you best not miss it.
Yep, and we do preach that a lot. I'm very proud of Shelby. If you knew Shelby from a freshman till now, she's just improved leaps and bounds and works hard at it and is very calm, cool, and collected. You know, and she actually hurt her ankle the other day against Jerseyville running, smoked the ball to right field and running hard to first. And she's good now, so we just – She just tweaked it a little bit on a base. But, you know, they seeing that in her is a great thing. And a lot of the kids, they've improved a lot since they were freshmen, and they've really matured a lot. And so there's a lot to be said about that, you know, that senior responsibility and the senior maturity and the experience that comes along with playing. You know, it's very apparent. So we talk about that all the time, you know, when you're playing select against your own level and now you're 14 playing against 18-year-olds, it does make a difference. And, again, just experience and life,
yes,
right, teaches us some lessons. So it's great to see those kids succeed
and, Michelle,
and having some success. So.
We've talked in the past about, you know, the nature of the spring sports. Once school gets out, you never really know how kids will respond. But with you having such a talented senior group, and since they didn't get to play last year, it sure seems that the normal, I guess, mental lapse that you might have this time of year, I don't think it's going to happen this time around.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm hoping not. I know these girls are really excited at the beginning of the year to get a season. The fact that we're getting a postseason, you know, and they didn't for basketball or volleyball or is you know, a great thing. We've talked about that at the beginning of the season. We still continue to kind of remind them every once in a while that, hey, look, we're getting way more than we did. Think about not getting a season last year and you guys losing out on your junior year. Luckily, we didn't have seniors last year, so that was a little bit easier to swallow. But just reminding them that in about 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is left, that, you know, you've got all summer before you go to college. You still have a good 2 months before they probably have to pack up to go to school. And there's be plenty of time to play. Let's focus and, you know, end on a good note and do what they're capable of. And so there's no regrets when they do move on. So some of them are going on to play. Some of them aren't, just reminding them that, you know, have some fun and enjoy the game you love, and we're getting a chance to play. So let's give it everything we can.
Boy, it's real easy to forget that sometimes, isn't it? The having fun part. We get so caught up in the competition that sometimes you just got to stop, take a breath, and say, oh yeah, this is supposed to be fun after all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, especially with this season, you're trying to stay competitive. So you're packing games in into a shorter spot. We are literally playing every day, and with Ben, I told him we're going to spend a ton of time together. You know, we have to keep in mind that, you know, the whole reason why we're doing it, you know, we missed out. And so we're trying to be competitive and pack some games in and get some experience and learn from it all along the way. And that went from, you know, oh, we got a ton of games left, and now we have, you know, I think 8 on the schedule left, which is still a substantial amount when you're packing them into, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks is kind of crazy. So, but they've been pretty good. I'll be honest with you. They've been pretty good about, keeping it going and not complaining about anything. We've had a couple days, earlier this week with some rainouts, which gave us the time to at least take a break. Graduation was Sunday. They had a rainout Monday, and got a chance to practice, of course, inside on Tuesday, but, you know, getting a little bit of a break there is kind of nice to just, you know, take a breath and give a couple days off from all the end of the year chaos and sort of regroup and, you know, reload for
That's right.
for this week and next week. So
a break for the final push. And talk with Michelle Smith, Gillespie softball coach. Final question for you. The next couple weeks here, obviously, you got conference championship on the line coming up, postseason play. Keys for the minors to finish like you want to finish?
We want 20 wins, so that's been a kind of a goal for us. So, you know, with the 8 left, we've got to win 5 more right now, at least, 5 of the 8, and assuming we don't lose any over, you know, some conference makeup games with Triad and Edwardsville, I think, are having to get some conference games in, so we may lose some there. We want to finish strong today and Monday, and then, you know, finish these last couple. We have 4 conference games left, so we still don't want to take anyone for granted. Finish that, and then we'll worry about postseason, and getting prepped for that. So that's just really our focus, is to play well each day and work towards those, you know, next 5 wins and take it one step at a time.
Sounds good. The old KISS principle, you can never go wrong with that.
That's right.
Michelle Smith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck down the stretch.
Sure. Thanks. I appreciate it, Tim.
That was Gillespie softball coach Michelle Smith. We're going to switch gears now and talk Carlinville boys track with head coach Shea Kellerman. Shea, thank you for joining us here on Sports Saturday. And do you ever pinch yourself and go, wait a minute, I'm the track coach at this prestigious program?
Well, it's one of those things that I was kind of almost kind of fell into by happy accident. My wife happened to coach the middle school girls, and that was opening us, went up as well. So she kind of talked to me about, hey, how about we kind of go in this together and try to go at it? And I said, all right, let's see what we can do. Hopefully we're not the ones to take down this program. That'd be a shame.
But that is a neat dynamic there, to have you and your wife controlling both programs. That's very neat.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those, obviously the girls coach and boys coach work so directly together, mm-hmm. that you gotta like the other person. So, I mean, thankfully we do.
Shea, talk to me a little bit about this season and really the uniqueness of it with not having a track and field season a year ago. How did the kids get acclimated back in to the track?
Well, that one has been kind of hard, especially because this year we've got a few pretty dang good athletes. Thankfully our pole vaulter, he has done a lot of off-season work, so he stayed pretty good with it. I mean, he has traveled and done all that, so he's pretty good. Some of our other guys, unfortunately, I mean, just lost development, but we're back on track. The first day we just hit the ground running, honestly, and just say, all right, we got to make up for this. We understand what we got to do. And the kids have really responded to that, and they've been really open to everything we've done. And honestly, this team, I've talked to my wife about this too. I'm like, we're very blessed and very lucky to have such good kids that are willing to work. And so I feel very that we are back on track of missing the whole year. So that's been very, very lucky.
And one of the strengths of the Carlinville program has always been able to field kids in basically every event of the meet. And it doesn't seem to be any different this year.
For the most part, we've got a couple that we just don't have this year because of, I mean, in all honesty, fighting for athletes mm-hmm. is pretty hard, especially at the end of, with them being at the end of all the roads. But we are lucky enough that I was able to sweet talk Coach Garrison to coming back and actually assisting me and helping basically do a lot of the field events and helping, like, hey, I need you kind of to take one-on-one and keep working with this. So in all honesty, I've got to give Coach Garrison a lot of the credit on that.
And, you know, Shea, I remember, I guess it would have been pre-COVID, so 19, whatever it would have been. I remember going to the Carlinville gym for a girls' regional basketball game, and there was Coach Garrison up in the top of the gym working with throwers on technique.
Oh, yeah. Coach Garrison, I can't say enough good things about him. He really helps especially our field events. He is, I mean, I don't know if there's much anybody really better than him. Mm-hmm. And he does a really good job with the athletes of working one-on-one with him, and they really respect him and understand how much knowledge he has.
Shea, you talked about kind of the fight for athletes this year and all the different crossovers that we don't normally have. You're involved with the boys' basketball team. So have you noticed a difference in terms of maybe the energy levels or whatever the case may be from the athletes from, say, January to now? Do they have anything left in the tank?
That's a very good point. I can tell you because I was there for basketball, and obviously basketball was one of the first sports that said, all right, go. Mm-hmm. And the next day we were ready to practice, and those kids were so biting at the bit to get after it. I'll be honest. I mean, as you can imagine, those kids now, they're wore down. Mm-hmm. You can see it that they're like, we still don't get me wrong. We're enjoying it and stuff like that, but it's getting to them a little bit. But they're just happy to be doing it, though.
Shea, a moment ago you alluded to the pole vaulting and how they were kind of ready to go from the get-go. That has been such a strong event at Carlinville for a long time.
Oh, yes, it has. And Coach Daugherty on that one has been great because he's even he's been not only helps our high school guys, he is so good with working with our middle school kids that really you get middle schoolers. We have just this year, we've got about 6 or 7 middle schoolers trying to do pole vault and at least learning from him. And so that's Coach Daugherty really is the key to that aspect of it all.
You know, when I think about Carlinville track and just Carlinville as a whole, I always think of speed from a football perspective. But boy, it seems to me when I follow Carlinville track and field results, your distance runners meet in, meet out, taking home the top 2 spots, it seems like.
And again, I mean, you're interviewing me, but really my assistant coaches are really the ones that are making this all go, and that's Coach Helton on that one. Coach Helton runs such a good cross-country program that he's able to get them to come out for me, and then it makes me look good.
That's right.
And in all honesty, in practice, we'll have our warm-ups together, and we'll have our meeting. And then after it's time, I said, all right, distance people, you're with Coach Helton. I let him do his magic, and he makes me look good after it.
See, that's a huge part of being a head coach, though, is delegating responsibility. And when you've got the knowledge and your assistants like you do, you'd be stupid not to utilize that.
100%. I mean, you got, especially I see like when it comes to track, you've got to have a good base of people. And I'm blessed enough that, again, Coach Garrison was very nice enough to come back, and Coach Daugherty will work with his pole vaulters, and then Coach Helton does a phenomenal job with his distance people. So it leaves me with my sprinters, and everything works out really, really well.
Talk to me, Shay, about some of your individual performers so far this year. I know you got some good ones.
Oh yeah. So our top performer right now is probably Dustin Roberts right now on pole vault. I believe at last Tuesday, our home meet, you may have to excuse me, but I wasn't there for it. We just had the first birth of our child on Sunday.
Well, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Wasn't able to make it, but Dustin, believe he PR'd on Tuesday at 14 feet. So he's really doing well. His goal is 15. We're trying to achieve that. I think Monday is going to be a good day for us when we're at Greenville, but he's been really, really on it. We have a good thrower in Colton Robinson. He's been nursing a hand wound from football, and so we've been trying to slowly get back at it and try to get it, but we're thinking we're to the point where he's done really well. And in practice the other day, he was throwing over 50 feet, so that hopefully that continues, and we'll be able to, because he's been really shooting at the Carnville record there, and hopefully as long as everything stays on pace, he will get to achieve that as a junior, which is awesome. And then we have a nice 4x1 relay. I've been able to hit the kind of recruiting trail on that and trying to get our best athletes, because like you mentioned, in football we always have good football athletes, and I was able to try to get our running back. I was able to get Bobby Steele to join our team, which in turn was able to grant me Ethan Siglock on our 4x1 team. So I have a 4x1 of Mason Patton, TJ Sims, Ethan Siglock, and Bobby Steele, with an alternate of Ethan Gibble, which they're a very, very solid 4x1 group. So,
well, Shay, I know a lot of those kids are fast in pads. I can only imagine what they're like in a track outfit.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's funny, because I also like to teach in middle school, and some of my middle school kids were like, oh, my gosh, Mr. Kellerman, those guys are so fast. I said, yeah, they are.
Shay, what's the rest of the season look like here? It's so strange to be – with the format we have, it is what it is. So what does it look like coming down the stretch here for the Cavvies?
So this upcoming week, we're going to have conference at Pena. And then we basically get right back into after conference, we're into sectional. So it's kind of weird to have just so many little meets and not have any big ones. Mm-hmm. And that's what these kids are really going to, I think, I'm trying to get them prepared for that, but some of them, it's just a different aspect, because we got a nice young core of distance runners that never have experienced a race with a big group of guys like that. So we're getting to the home stretch and trying to get that them all prepared for that.
Sounds good. Shay Kellerman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on the birth of your first child. You got to get him in the starting blocks early, right?
Absolutely.
That was Carlinville Boys track coach Shay Kellerman. We'll take a break. Sports Saturday back in just a moment. Happy to be joined right now by Morrisonville head baseball coach Mark Farrell. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And, man, it had to feel real good to get back on the ball diamond this year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, not being down there for an entire spring and being away for a whole year has definitely been been a definite change of pace for everybody from the Morrisonville baseball community. So,
and the great thing about the baseball season this year in the COVID year is you guys get a postseason, you've got the full season. So I would imagine that your kids, they've really had probably a lot of enthusiasm knowing, hey, we actually get to play a regional.
Absolutely, yeah. So a lot of the other sports, you know, have been cheated out of that opportunity to kind of have some kind of closure to the end of their season instead of just saying, hey, you know, we're over. And I think that, you know, the IHSA kind of looked at it as, you know, baseball got cheated out of an entire season last year with us not getting to play a single game. And so I'm glad that they decided to go ahead and move us to a position where we could have a postseason this year. So,
of course, Morrisonville co-ops with Lincolnwood for baseball, and this will be the final year that it's hosted by Morrisonville. The high school sports will transfer to Lincolnwood next year. The junior high sports will stay in Morrisonville. So, Mark, that really makes this a doubly special year because there is a rich baseball tradition at Morrisonville.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, the kids that are graduating this year, I think we're the first ones to participate with the baseball side of the co-op, you know, at the junior high level. So those kids have been through it for the last, 5 years. And so that the, there's been a nice gel between the two communities. The fact that it's going to be not hosted in Morrisonville, hopefully we'll still have the, you know, the feel towards baseball as we have all these years, you know, with it being hosted down the road there, in Raymond next year. But yeah, it's been a long time. I've been coaching for, this will be my 24th season, as an assistant coach or a head coach. And so to know that, not going down to that ball diamond every day in the spring is going to be not happening this coming year is a little bit different, but everything moves forward hopefully with progress and things turn out well for everybody.
And, you know, a lot of times, Mark, in situations like this, it's us old guys that get maybe our feathers ruffled a little bit, whereas the kids are like, I'm just going to play ball, and they pass crawls a lot in the summer and travel teams and all that. So from a kid perspective, it's not really that different probably.
No, they're resilient. I mean, that's the kids go with, you know, they basically are taught to follow the lead, and that's what us adults kind of have to do to get the things lined out ahead for them. For instance, even last night, we got done playing a good conference game against Pawnee, came up short 5-4 on that. And after the game, I've got 3 or 4 of my kids who are over in the Pawnee dugout talking to other kids that they, you know through sports or just friends with mm-hmm. and whatnot. And so the camaraderie and the friendships and stuff, that's the main thing. Keeping the kids, active doing something. That's the main goal, I think, for everybody. So whether it's hosted in Morrisonville, whether it's hosted in Lincolnwood, wherever it's at, you know, schools all across the state, it's good to have the kids back to where they can, compete and, have that aspect of social,
Interaction,
exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I was looking for, so.
And, Mark, I mean, this season, obviously, scheduling-wise, is it the same as it usually is, or has there been a few COVID scheduling differences this year in terms of opponents maybe you wouldn't normally play?
I can't imagine the AD's position on this. It had to have been a nightmare, because baseball originally was going to be played starting in May, going all the way through June, with no state series. And then they pushed it back. We started in April, going through the end of May, and giving us a state series. So all the ADs going and getting everything lined out for games in May and June, then had to move all those from there to the April to May dates. So I can't imagine the headache that that's been for all the ADs and stuff around the state as well. But yeah, we had several opponents that, we haven't played in the past. Whenever they were, they were trying to find people to fill the schedule up, which we've always tried to play as many games as possible. Right now we've played 18 games this year, and it's been fortunate enough to play 15 of those at home. So that's a lot more games than a lot of teams are actually going to play this year, which is what we always try to do. And like I say, make the most of the opportunity for the time the kids have this year. So,
talk to me about the seniors on your squad, Mark, because last year a lot was made of the seniors and they got a short end of the stick. But it's the seniors this year who have really taken the brunt of this, losing their entire spring junior season and then just their whole senior year beyond athletics, just all sorts of jacked up. So talk to me about the seniors on your squad.
The group that we've got is actually doing it. I was talking about it last night when we had our senior send-off. That when these guys started out in the program as freshmen, I think we had 13, and now we're down to where we have 7, with, you know, various reasons for that, you know, happening, kids moving out of the districts and whatnot. And somebody asked me at the beginning of this year, you know, hey, who's the best team in the conference going to be? And it's like, well, you know, the last time these teams played, these kids were sophomores. So
right.
It's hard to really look forward and kind of say, you know, okay, well, this team's going to be really good because you have no idea what the kids have done with an entire year off and whatnot. So, these seniors, like I said, they missed out on the year of, like I say, their junior year of having the senior leadership from the kids that missed out on their entire season last year. To where they've got, you know, an extra year of varsity experience coming into this. And, but they've done a great job. It's a great group of kids to have been a part of their lives. Like I say, I'm not a teacher. I work away from the school. So my relationship with them is basically after school and down at the Ball Diamond. And so that's how I get to, you know, it's my pleasure and privilege to get to be a part of their lives in that way. So.
Talking with Mark Farrell, the Morrisonville baseball coach. And Mark, you made a point there. I hadn't really thought about that in terms of kind of a scouting feel and just having a feel for your opponents. When you've been around the game as long as you have a sense year in, year out, who's good, who's not, what individuals stand out. But yeah, this year, it's really a crapshoot. It's up in the air. Who the heck knows? Because a lot changes in 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, just even knowing what kids had graduated. You know, there were a lot of teams. Like I said, you know from year to year what programs you expect, you know, to have, you know, just the way the programs work, whether they've got superior athletes or just their work ethic, you know kind of what to expect. So this year with playing some different opponents, having no idea what to expect coming into it, knowing what we have pitching-wise, and the pitching limitations really play into a factor when you try to play that many games. You end up dipping a long ways down into your staff to find guys to fill innings to keep those pitch counts down. And the scouting, trying to figure out who's going to be bringing what to the table whenever you face them has been definitely a challenge. And we've been caught off guard a couple of times and had to just adjust with that. But it's part of the game, part of the strategy and whatnot. And so it's one of those aspects that you just take a hold of and go with. So
you hit briefly on my next question about the pitching. With the number of games you've played, and for the most part, the weather's been good the last week or so. We've maybe had a few more rainouts, but pitching depth is really always the number one, two, and three concerns, I think, of a high school baseball team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The teams that you know that face, that, you know, they've got two or three guys that are going to be strong and be able to go out there and maximize the number of pitches they can get in a game. Really makes a huge difference. Last night, the Connor Henneman for Pawnee ended up throwing a great complete game against us and being able to get it in under the 105 pitch limit there. And so we've had several guys throughout the year that have done that to us. And early on, with us playing as many games as we have, it seems like you're going to see the other team's number one pitcher, you know, first two or three games of it's going to be their first game, whereas we're playing game two, game three, game four. You're still seeing the first guy out of the box for the other teams coming in. And then with the rain out, it's the same way. You get the rain out, you've got a four-day span there where nobody plays. Everybody's got everybody that's available. So you're going to be challenged, you know, every time you step into the batter's box with the best from the other teams. So.
And, Mark, you know, in a normal year, the goal kind of is let's play after school's out. If we're still playing and school's out, that's a good sign. Not necessarily the case this year, because school's about to be out and you still got a lot of ball to play.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got one of our seniors is graduating this evening even down at Raymond. Then the Morrisonville graduation is next Friday. And after, you know, we've got next week, we've got a doubleheader conference game on Monday, conference game scheduled for Tuesday, another conference game scheduled for Wednesday. So we got a jam-packed first four conference games in 3 days there, weather permitting, on next week. And then obviously the regional will start the following week of that. So we're still looking, you know, at 2 weeks or so after the kids are out of school to be playing baseball, which, like I say, most of the kids that are going to probably be playing would either be playing on their travel teams as soon as school gets out, or the ones that I say that don't play the travel ball, or, you know, they go on to what their summer has to hold for them. But yeah, it'll be nice to still be playing after school's out. So,
And, Mark, I don't suspect that the old senioritis is as big of a problem this year as maybe in a normal year, just because of all the circumstances that have gone in. They're just happy to be playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, maybe that's the one thing that comes from the kids not having a junior year to where, you know, they're looking at it and they still have those seniors kind of looming over the top of them. These guys were still sophomores and underclassmen, so they weren't thinking about, hey, you know, next year's our year to be the guys on top. And but the group of kids we've got, like I said, it's a pretty well-rounded group, great personalities. They interact great with the younger kids, which is good because, like I said, with the co-op and the kids having to mingle and this being the first time some of the kids meet each other is at the first practice. It is nice that I don't think there's any of them that are just, hey, I'm ready for this to be over with. I'm ready to be out of school. I'm sure they're all thinking, you know, like usual, when that last game rolls around, they're going to be wishing they had one more. So
that was Morrisonville baseball coach Mark Farrell with us here on Sports Saturday. And again, next year, the Morrisonville Lincolnwood High School sports will move to Lincolnwood. The junior high sports will shift to Morrisonville. Last year, Litchfield, they were poised to have a brand new baseball coach as Connor White was hired and ready to go. And, of course, COVID ended all that a year ago. But now Connor is back with the Purple Panthers in his first year, or is it second year, at the helm of the Purple Panthers. We're happy to be joined now by Connor White, the head baseball coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Connor, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And I haven't exactly figured out if you're in your second year or if this is technically your first year, because you were ready to go last year.
We were ready to go last year, and that's when I'm meeting all the coaches of our away teams or our opponents this year. I introduce myself, you know, I'll say, technically this is my second year, but first year actually getting some games under our belt, so we're happy to be finally playing some baseball games.
And I would imagine that you have just seen a lot of smiles ear to ear on your kids this year.
We have, and that's one thing we talked about at the beginning of the year, how last year, unfortunately, did not get any games in, and this year we're going to make the most of it because we are actually getting to play.
And, Connor, you've got a young team, but you're young yourself. You're only 24 years old, so you really, I think, you have a unique position here. You can really relate to these kids on a level that a lot of times the high school coach can't.
I agree, and that's one thing I tell these guys is I'm not like a traditional coach where, you know, they haven't played in a certain amount of years there. I don't want to say fresh out of baseball, but it was very recent for me. So when I tell them or try to explain to them stuff, I do have, you know, some life experience there. And I was a high school player myself. Sorry, I got a stopwatch going off in my room right now. I'm trying to get that. So I'm fairly young there. A lot of the life experiences that I have playing baseball are very recent for me. Just yesterday, I talked a little bit about when I played baseball just to kind of teach them a lesson of if you're not always successful, don't hang your head. You're going to get plenty more at-bats. I try to talk to them and let them know, you know, baseball is a game of failure. You're not supposed to be successful every at-bat you have, but that's just baseball there.
And when you've got a young team at the varsity level, boy, is that an important lesson for them to understand. I'm going to have games where it just doesn't go well. That's just how it works.
Right. And that's one thing. As a freshman or even a sophomore playing up on varsity, you're playing against guys that might have 3 or 4 years under their belt on a varsity team. So they might be a little more experienced there. But it's good as a freshman or a sophomore to kind of understand that at an early age where you're going to struggle a little bit, but that the struggles that you go through early on are going to make you a better ball player by the time you're a junior or a senior. You'll be accustomed to the level of play on a varsity team and really the level of play that I'm looking for you to be at as a varsity baseball player.
And I don't know how many of your kids were playing, you know, select ball this last year, but for your seniors, they maybe haven't played since they were sophomores.
And that is very tough. Really, if you're a baseball player that's looking to go play college baseball, a junior year is very important for you. That's a lot of times where some coaches can come look at you. So losing that season, as for a college standpoint, was extremely tough for not only guys on my team, but for athletes anywhere. That's a tough year to miss. So, yeah, everybody at the beginning of the season was a little rusty. And that was just, you know, everybody was dealing with that. We just had to make the most of it and be ready for our first game.
And I know Litchfield made the decision they weren't going to really have the crossover season, so you had to wait to get going until the previous sports were wrapped up.
Yes, and that's one thing we talked as an athletic department, and I totally was behind Coach Elvers with that. I didn't want any football players rushing to get to baseball and, you know, maybe hurt themselves on the baseball field to then lead them to not be able to play football and vice versa there. So I had nothing but support for our school's decision to do that, even though that set us behind maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks as opposed to other teams. I wanted our guys to be fully committed to baseball when baseball time came around, and then they should stay fully committed to football during football season.
You know, we're talking with Connor White, the Litchfield baseball coach, and sometimes that can be an adjustment for people when they're coming from a bigger school where, you know, you got your football players, you got your baseball players, whereas Litchfield, they're all the same.
Yeah, and myself coming from SHG, there was, you know, a few kids that played football, then they played baseball, and then there was a select few that played football, then basketball in the winter, and then transitioned into baseball as well. But not nearly as many as there is here in Litchfield. And that's something me as a coach, that was a little bit of an eye-opener for me too, noticing, okay, there's a lot of three-sport or multi-sport athletes here. By the time they get to baseball in the spring, they might be a little worn out from the two other sports that they played. But these guys that just came from football straight to baseball, they got in it. They, you know, were available to practice every day. They didn't expect any time off. They just transitioned right into football mode, right into baseball mode, and I couldn't be more happy with how they adjusted to that so quickly.
So we'll get into the youth of your team in a moment, but I want to spend a few moments here on your upperclassmen. No matter what the sport, upperclassmen for a program are so crucial, especially, Connor, when you're trying to get a new program established like you are.
Right. And we've got six, seven seniors on our team. Off the top of my head, we have, I think, about seven seniors on our team. One senior has been injured for quite some time now, so he kind of took on the role as a team manager. Him and I have had multiple talks about that, and he has been, you could tell, it's Matthew O'Brien. He wants to be a part of the team. He wants to help the team out in any way he can, and I couldn't be more appreciative of him for that, taking on that role and accepting the role as our team manager and just wanting to be a part of the team there. As for our other seniors, they've been nothing but great too as well. We've had many talks about how, you know, it's tough that they lost their last season there as juniors, like we just talked about a moment ago, and how an important season that was. So they might be a little rusty here, but they're enjoying the season. I wanted to make it something that they could remember if this is their last year playing baseball. I wanted to make it special for them.
And for your younger kids now, from your program standpoint, they become very critical here, the kids that are freshmen and sophomores this year, because they're in on the ground floor of what you're trying to get done.
Exactly, yeah. We've got our freshman catcher, or starting catcher, the freshman, and Carson Sadoff. We've got a couple freshman outfielders that can pitch a little bit too, and Jay Stewart and Drake Gasperson. And then we've got Bryce Hires. He plays a little infield for us, pitches, plays a little outfield when we need him to there. And Jacob Budd, who is a sophomore as well, and also is a very versatile player. He plays a little infield for us, catches sometimes, pitches for us in relief a lot of the games. But losing last year, is at the beginning of this season, I'm still kind of trying to set a foundation of what I expect from our baseball program. You know, last year we only got 2 weeks of practice, but every single one of those practices were indoors at our indoor facility, LSI. This year we were able to start out outside, so it was still, we're kind of using this, or not using this, but treating this year as a foundation year where they're still learning what I expect them to be doing as a team, our routines that we need to go through every day. But with the quick turnaround, with us starting so late, we were learning that, we were learning our team plays, and then we were playing, you know, we had our game scheduled right away. So it was a lot of adjusting and a lot of learning for these players to do right at the beginning of the season.
You know, Connor, hitting is hard enough if everything is lined up perfectly. But you factor in really not having played for a year and then playing as many freshmen and sophomores as you are. Boy, hitting at the varsity level becomes even harder than it normally is.
And that's one thing that I illustrate to them. Taking that last year off, not getting, you know, your live at bats is definitely tough. And then just kind of getting thrown into the mix this year is definitely going to be a little tough. We've had a lot of rain out or games that are rained out this year. So just having those extra innings to practice and get your live at bats definitely makes it a little bit easier when you have those. But when they get rained out or when our games get rained out and we still can't even practice on our field, you know, we got to make the most of that there.
And we're talking about the, you know, the difference between the small school and the big school, especially in baseball. A lot of times it comes down to a pure numbers game. How many arms do I have that I can rely on? And as you kind of look at your pitching in this type of condensed year with so many games in such a short window, how's that stacking up?
It's a little difficult, actually. My assistant coach is Steve Ahern. He's a volunteer assistant coach. He's got a son that played sports with me growing up. He's a volunteer for me. He's been nothing but help. Coach Corso, us three are just communicating left and right. We stay after practices almost every day, stay after games almost every day, and just plan really two or three games in advance because of these pitching limitations. So it is a little bit difficult. You always got to be thinking, all right, if this guy throws 45 pitches today, he's got a day of rest. He can throw how many pitches, you know, in 2 days or in 3 days. So it's having two assistant coaches there that understand these pitching limitations has been nothing but help for me as a head coach there.
And as we come down the stretch here of the regular season, the fantastic thing is we actually get a postseason. So that will be a nice way for the kids to end their year with an actual playoff.
Yes, and it was nice, I think, at the beginning of the year or maybe a few months before the start of the year. We were still up in the air about if we were going to have a postseason at the end of the season. Now, IHSA fortunately said yes to having a postseason. So once we found out the news there, everybody was happy about that. That's where the games, you know, I want to say get a lot more fun because they're a little bit competitive. They mean something there. So you're going to go out and you're going to put your best foot forward at each of those games, just because the competition is raised a little bit higher than your regular season game.
That was Connor White, the Litchfield baseball coach. And, yeah, it just depends on how you look at it. He's either in his first year or his second year. But thanks to Connor for a few minutes of his time here this morning on Sports Saturday. We are out of time. Don't forget Cardinal baseball coming up tonight. Cards and Cubs from Busch. What about two-thirds capacity? That sure is sweet. 5:20 pregame tonight. WQSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. And we'll have high school baseball for you this afternoon. Nokomis at Hillsboro. First pitch, 1 o'clock. Live coverage, 12:50 today on WQSMI FM 106.1 and streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.